This is Navigating Your Retirement Radio with Travis Chance from CFG Wealth Management. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Travis provides his clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful solutions to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is Navigating Your Retirement Radio with Travis Chance. Welcome to Navigating Your Retirement. I'm your co-host, Tony Shore, and I'm here with our host, Travis Chance. Travis, have you had your coffee yet this morning?
Tony, I am working on it. I'm two cups of caffeine. I'm about to get to the bottom of the second, so that means it's almost go time.
Yeah.
Well, folks, if you are listening to us on WTKS Radio in Savannah, welcome. And if it's early for you, like it's early for everybody else, go to Black Rifle Coffee over off of Abercorn 204, which is in the Nine Line Apparel facility. Go get you a cup of caff, and you'll thank me in the morning. It is rocket fuel, ready for the day. I promise.
Well, hey, Travis, you know, on our last show, we talked a bit about the widow's tax and what happens when a spouse passes. And you really want to dig in because we didn't dig in. We talked about the overall concept. But today we're going to dig in to why some surviving spouses out there are paying more in taxes and why this is a tax bomb, a ticking tax time bomb for surviving spouses.
So we went what I would consider an inch deep and a mile wide on the last show. We talked about a number of topics, but today we're going to get into actual real examples to really bring home the impact of what we're talking about. Because, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've asked this question or some version of this question where, you know, I ask a couple, I say, you know, hey, if you were to visualize, God forbid, one of you guys passing away, do you think the surviving spouse pays more or less in taxes? More times than not, the answer is less. And why? Mm-hmm. Well, it's because it's the feeling, the thought of, hey, if we need X amount of income, chances are the spouse is going to need less income, maybe not 50%, but less most cases.
Right.
So if they're taking less income, that should inherently mean what? Less taxes, right?
Right.
It's a correlation, right? It's just how our brain's wired.
The less you make, the less you have
less
to pay.
Less you make, less you take, the less you pay in taxes.
Yeah.
But in actuality, that's not always the case because more times than not, the taxes for a surviving spouse have a really good shot at going up, not down. All right. So let's talk through how that's going to work in today's show. You know, after one spouse passes away, obviously some things change right away. Number one, you get one Social Security check, not two, right? We can inherit the highest of the two benefits, but you don't get to keep both benefits. So if, you know, one spouse is earning, say, $3,000 a month, the other spouse is earning $2,000 a month, then the $3,000 is going to stay, $2,000 is going to go away. Just round figures, that's usually going to be the case. There are some situations where if, depending on when the highest earning spouse drew their Social Security and when the lowest drew theirs, some combinations, not always exactly that way, but more times than not it is. But one of the things that we have to think about is, okay, when the spouse now is down to one Social Security, there are things that don't drop. Like what? For instance, the RMD, IRAs. So we're going to talk through today how not to just deal with the pattern of taxes, but also, you know, surviving spouses, folks, we need to get prepared, and we need to, as the, you know, if you're the one in the family that deals with the finances, you need to prepare them for, God forbid, if, especially if you're the one that may predecease, right? Mm-hmm. If you're the one that may pass away, they're not only now dealing with the grief of your loss or the grief of a loss, they are now dealing with potentially changing tax brackets, Medicare premiums, required minimum distributions, difficult financial decisions that they used to have you as a sounding board and you as the opportunity to kind of give a voice of reason, where now there's not going to be that opportunity, right? So we don't want surprises. We want proper planning so that that surprise element can be reduced or eliminated. Okay. So Tony, let's dig into the first point. We're going to talk about like how your tax code changes overnight. The IRS doesn't give widows a tax break. Okay. After the year of death, the surviving spouse is going to transition most cases from a married filing joint to a single, unless another filing status applies. It's going to go MFJ is going to go to single. And so what changes? Well, if you just think about the tax code as it exists today, if let's say in 2026, right, we look at the comparison, a married filing joint return can actually get up into the north of 100,000 range before they break out of the 12% bracket. Whereas the marginal tax bracket for a single at 12% stops around 50,000. Wow. So 22% starts at 50 and basically goes to where the married filing joint used to stop at 12. So essentially, you're going to see almost a doubling effect on a portion of that income. So it shouldn't be a big surprise to think, you know, okay, well, holy cow, I didn't know that. So that's why taxes are going to go up. Absolutely. Yeah.
Most people don't know this and never think about this, and that's
well, it's not something I'm ashamed to say that probably most advisors focus on,
right?
You know, because let's face it. Most that don't understand taxes, they run from this kind of concept and talk like the plague. They're like, I don't want to talk about it. Well, yeah. You have to. You have to talk about it. You have to be educated because unfortunately, as we talked about, taxes, you now are in a higher bracket early.
Yep.
And you have what? You have potentially the same amount of distributions to contend with. Let's talk about what I'm referring to. So, Tony, let's assume we have a married couple, right? And this is just for just an arbitrary couple. This is not a real life example. I have not changed the names to protect the innocent. We're just going to talk through the case. So if you're like, that sounds like me, it's not. All right. So married couple, they have IRA assets. Let's say they total $1.8 million. And their RMD in that year is $72,000. They're married filing joint. So chances are with their Social Security, with their other income sources, probably going to be in the 22% bracket. Okay. Yeah. Shouldn't be a big stretch, not a huge amount of income, but certainly a respectable amount. Problem is, one spouse, let's say, God forbid, passes away. The income may drop a little bit because Social Security is what? Is one of them is going away, right? The lowest amount's going away. But the surviving spouse is going to have still what to contend with. The RMD is not going to change, folks.
Nope.
Because that $1.8 million that may have been spread between two spouses is now going to be inherited by the surviving spouse. And if they take that, move it into their IRA, then they're going to have to contend with the RMD, no different than whenever both of you guys were here together.
Yeah, the passing of one spouse. Happen.
Yeah, the passing of one spouse does not give you the ability to defer or to move off that RMD. It's going to happen.
And the RMD doesn't decrease. It's the same amount.
If the market has a really bad year, you may get some years where it decreases, but you are correct. Most cases, it's more likely going to be higher the next year than lower. Right. It's how it's calculated. But the point being, Tony, is the surviving spouse is going to have the same required minimum distribution. Right. But now they are in the single tax bracket, even though they have less income, they may have a higher effective tax burden. And the the transition for most people, Tony, it's heartbreaking. Yeah. Because the household's going to have more or have more to contend with in taxes, even though they have less money coming in. Uncle Sam's going to take a larger chunk. And I wish that there was this magic wand that we could wave that would basically say, hey, you know, give them 2 years, give them 3 years to adjust, but it just doesn't happen. This is going to be something that has to be dealt with immediately. So if we think in that vein, or is that the only thing that we're going to have to contend with? And unfortunately, you know the answer to this, Tony. Yep. The answer is no.
It's gonna
because
be.
It doesn't just stop there. No. The problem that we're going to face is, let's talk about some of the other hidden tax traps below RMDs. If your required minimum distribution is like we talked about, you're a 1.8 million couple, even if you're a single, now the RMD is well over 70,000. Large IRA balances are going to continue to produce a taxable income, which could now throw a single into what? Higher Medicare IRMA brackets, okay? Because most retirees, if you ask them what IRMA is, they're like, I don't have a clue what you just said, because many are not going to fall in that category, right?
Old, they, a mean Aunt Irma. She's a, mean, got when Uncle mean Sam Aunt Irma Aunt
comes
Irma.
In town, you got problems.
Yeah,
and that's
a big one.
That is the issue, because it potentially puts you in a corner. Okay, because if you think about the Irma brackets going forward, if you and your spouse, okay, so going forward for 2027, if you and your spouse were making $224,000 or less, then you have no issues. But as a single, it's only $112,000. So remember what we just talked about. If you have a $72,000 RMD, and let's say your spouse is or had a small pension that you're going to inherit also, and you have Social Security, $112,000 is not a really far-fetched income for you to hit. That is something that you could, you know, severely cut your income, and you could still be forced with paying higher Medicare premiums. Initially, it's going to be around $100. If you break that glass ceiling, it's going to be around $100 increase per year or per month. Around $1,200 a year in additional cost. But that's still a tax nonetheless, because where you were paying, say, I think this year is what, 202 and change, you're now going to be paying close to $300 a month for your Medicare Part B premium. Then you have to pay an additional $1,540 for your Part D. And then those brackets, you really break through those pretty rapidly.
Yeah, because once $202, and depending on how much you have in taxable income, it can go all the way to $600+ a month, $680 a month. That's a lot of money.
It is a very, very big wake up call for a lot of retirees.
Yeah, even $100 a month in extra, really, like what you say, is essentially a tax.
Mm-hmm. It's a hidden tax.
Yeah. And it's monthly. I mean, it's going to come out. I mean, your income's going to be reduced by another $100.
Well, what it also does
after tax,
if you think about this, Tony, the tendency for a lot of us, whenever we get to that age, we want to help our kids. We may need to buy a new vehicle. We may need to make certain decisions. It also could paint you in a corner where you can't take those one-off distributions without triggering it. So that's certainly something that's got to be thought through as well. Because, you know, if you inherit, let's say you have an aunt, an uncle, let's say you have a parent that is in their 90s. If you get one inherited IRA distribution, if you do one larger than needed IRA distribution from your account, then now you have to contend with that. And depending on if you do that more than 1 year, you're going to pay that for a few years going forward. So, folks, you know, once again, Medicare and IRMA, very, very much something that people don't think about. But it's certainly something that whenever you're planning for you and your spouse, you need to make sure that you have that addressed, because that's just one more thing that is bleeding income away from the surviving spouse's budget. Let's also talk about this, Tony. Now, this is interesting. Capital gains. because if you sell appreciated assets after losing a spouse, most spouses just think automatically, well, it was a joint account. So therefore they passed away. It's now mine. I should be able to sell these assets and generate this income. Well, depending on how it was actually titled, you may or may not spin off a huge capital gain. Why? Well, if you go to, for instance, the differences between them, and I'm only going to touch part of these, the most common that we see is joint tenants with right of survivorship. Okay. But it doesn't mean that when one of you passes away, that you get a step up in basis or you get your basis readjusted on the entire amount. Because if, let's say, Tony, you and your wife have $1 million brokerage account, you own it, JITROS with her, joint tenants, right of survivorship. Technically, you own 500,000. She owns 500,000. If you guys started that account with, say, 100,000 and you had put it in NVIDIA all those years ago, it's now worth $1 million. Your basis is 50. Her basis is 50. So whenever you pass away, then what is going to happen? She is generally going to have a half of her account that is going to be what? Going to still have the original basis. She gets your step up, but she does not get a step up in the entire account. And that not only happens for JITROS, that's tenants by entirety. There are some additional like tenants in common, community property. It's one of those things where it takes a little bit of tact and you have to think through it. But if you do have a spouse that is having severe health issues, you may want to think about coming off of an account completely and putting it in an individual account, because that way when they pass, if you are the beneficiary, then you get a 100% fair market step up. So folks, it's planning sometimes needs to be thought through just like a game of chess. Things that we think should happen, a lot of times that's not how they actually happen in the real world. And then tax trap number four, we talked about some of the others, capital gains, IRMA, RMDs, but let's talk about Social Security. Because Social Security, what happens? The tax advantage portion of your income is Social Security, and you are going to lose one of those incomes. So what fills that in? Like if you've seen the professor, have you ever seen the professor that talks to his class and he has the golf balls and then he talks about, is it full? And then he puts in the rocks and then he puts in the sand and then finally pours in a beer and says, there's always room for beer. Have you ever seen that one, Tony? Well, same principle. When you take out part of that Social Security income, you may need the same income, but you're going to refill it with what? With more tax-oriented income. RMDs are 100% taxable. Social Security is not. Once again, income goes down, taxes don't necessarily go down with it. They a lot of times are going to come up. They're all four connected, right? That's why retirement planning is no longer just investments. A lot of it is tax planning. And it's not something, I'm ashamed to say it, our industry has not done a great job of keeping up with the times and making sure that you guys are educated. Yeah. So what are some of the things? We've got a few minutes left. Let's talk about some solutions. What are some of the things that couples can do before it's too late? Tony, one of the things they can do, and it should come as no surprise to you because you and I talk about it all the time, consider Roth conversions while filing jointly. That way, folks, whenever we just talked about when part of the income is extracted from that bucket, you can refill it with tax-free income, not with taxable income. Make sure you coordinate your conversions. You have to be surgical. I talk all the time with our clients, talked with one yesterday, and we sat and ran mock tax returns until we got to the right balance. It could be 20,000, 30,000, could be 80,000. It's really just up to your tax return in any given year. Strategy number two, make sure that whenever you're planning for your retirement and you're planning with a pension, make sure that you talk with your spouse about at least maybe adding a 50%. And my recommendation is 100% survivor, because you generally don't give up a lot. I say a lot, you know, maybe 15%, 17% of the income if you had no survivor. That's a small pittance to pay to make sure that your surviving spouse is going to be taken care of.
Sure.
Tax diversification, Tony, strategy number three. You know, more times than I can count on my fingers and toes, I have clients walk in, and whenever I talk about diversification, the first place they go is where? Their investments. They don't go to their taxes.
But like, folks, oh, how many different stocks do I own? That's what people think diversification.
Do I have enough fixed income? Do I have some precious metals? But they don't talk about their tax
brackets. Or to most people, it's even worse. They're like, oh, I'm diversified. I own both Apple and NVIDIA.
Right? Yeah, I not only own the Mag 7, I own the top 15 stocks. But folks, think about what I just said. There are tax buckets just like there are investment buckets, right? You think about fixed income and you think about stocks, you think about alternatives, international, all that. But think about from a tax perspective, if all you have is pre-tax income, then you really have painted yourself in a corner. You have no way of maneuvering if, God forbid, the unforeseen happens.
So what you're talking about are the standard retirement accounts most people have. Traditional 401ks.
Pre-tax, which is the traditional IRAs, the 401ks, your employer's match is going to go in that bucket. But then you have what I said earlier, like your taxable buckets, your brokerage accounts, where that's taxed at capital gains and dividend rates. And if it's below the 12% bracket, in many cases, what is a capital gain rate if your income is in the 12% bracket or less? Zero. That could also help provide additional resources, not just in that account, but also think about tax-free. Your Roths, your life insurance cash value, if you have any. That's when you start. When you start to have that level of flexibility, then if you do have, let's say, a one-off event where you need a big repair on your home, or you need a big purchase like a car, and you don't want to finance it, you want to pay cash. Well, you can't, in a lot of cases, it would be cheaper in most cases to finance that vehicle than to take the tax hit that you may take as a single and then have to pay Medicare and all the other ancillary things that come up. So it just gives a surviving spouse so many more options instead of basically providing them with something that's just going to cause stress and problems that they're going to have to contend with.
So a tax-free bucket is really an answer to a lot of these problems.
It can fill so many things.
That way later, if there's a loss of a spouse, if you have enough money in a tax-free bucket, you avoid a lot of these issues.
Absolutely. Tony, last strategy to think about also is you need to practice survivor planning, because more times than not, I see couples that, you know, I'm like, do you have access to all your accounts? Do you know where they are? Do you know where the important documents are? Your wills, the trust, et cetera. Do you understand how your income is going to come in if, God forbid, one of you guys passes away? Mm-hmm. Have you met with your advisor and talked through this? Because so many times I see spouses, they're like, you know, I never come in. All right. You know, we specifically ask to bring the spouse.
But
this is something that more times than not, we don't see. So folks, I'm going to leave you with one thought and then we're going to close the show. You know, if you're married and most of your retirement savings is in pre-tax investments, you need to ask what happens to the tax picture if one of us is gone. And at CFG Wealth Management, that's one of the exercises we are going to provide you, for you and your spouse, to provide peace of mind for years to come. Give us a call, 877-269-0839.
Thank you for listening to Navigating Your Retirement Radio with Travis Chance. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, please contact Travis at CFG Wealth Management. Call 877-269-0839. or visit them online at navigatingretirementradio.com. Advisory services are offered by CFG Wealth Management LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of Georgia. Insurance products and services are offered through TL Chance, Inc., an affiliated company.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.